Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska, and it's good to be back with all of our listeners again today. What a blessing to be able to open up God's Word and teach it so openly, so directly, so deeply, and in such detail over the airwaves of radio and not have to fear any kind of legal reprisal for teaching the Bible. Now, as we've said many times, in some parts of the world, in some countries, that would be illegal. In fact, anyone doing so would be subject to arrest and perhaps even execution. But we have that freedom here in this country, and we ought to never take it for granted. We're thankful to be able to teach God's Word on such a widespread basis. And let me tell you, if you can't always tune in every day to hear these lessons, to get into these Bible studies, let me tell you how you can. I know that people have busy schedules, but if you will go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, you can click on the podcast button. Now, all of that is free. It always will be free. We're not after people's wallets. We want to help as many people as we can get to heaven. And when you click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting, you will automatically receive this radio program Monday through Friday right to your smart device, whether that's your phone or computer or whatever smart device you choose. It'll be free again. It'll be there every day, Monday through Friday, along with a whole lot of other Bible teaching materials. And again, all for free. So take advantage of that and tell everybody you can as well. Churchofchrist.com. Sign up for our podcasting. Now, we hope that you will come and check us out in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ if you're in our area. Our building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. Bible classes begin Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evenings, we come back together at 6 o'clock for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, good time to get our spiritual batteries recharged. We come back together each Wednesday evening at 6:30 for midweek Bible classes. You are welcome to any and all of these services, and we hope to see you soon. We're going to get back into our general study talking about heart troubles, and what we're really talking about is problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. So we're not talking about the physical organ within our chest that pumps blood through our circulatory system all through our body every day, all day, as long as we live physically. Now, and we've emphasized that. That's physiological. We're talking about heart problems from a spiritual perspective. We've already looked at a great many of those. In this particular section of our study, we're talking about prejudice. Prejudice. Now again, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21, God's Word says, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality." The Apostle Paul wrote that particular verse. And so he gives instructions to Christians, to Timothy in this particular case, and he says, I want you to observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Now, the words prejudice and partiality are synonyms. So you can see those used interchangeably, but Paul puts both of them into this particular verse of Scripture, without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Well, people a lot of times have an idea of what prejudice means in their mind. Well, what is the definition of prejudice? It is a preformed opinion. Now, preformed means you already have your mind basically made up as to what you believe about something or somebody, maybe before you even see that person or see or come into contact with whatever that situation is. It is literally to prejudge. So again, you already have your mind made up. You wouldn't want to stand before a judge in a legal matter that concerns you and someone on the opposite side of the ledger, so to speak, someone who is presenting a case against you, or maybe you're presenting a case against that person, you wouldn't want to stand before a judge who looks at you and already has his mind made up. I don't like you. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to find you guilty, no matter what you say. At the same time, you wouldn't want to stand before a judge who already knows and has a prejudicial mindset for your opponent. I'm going to almost certainly grant you your request because I know you. I know your family. I know your daddy, you know, and I like you. I like all of you. And so whatever you say, I'm pretty much going to believe that. And I'm going to, judge in your favor and against your opponent here. And you're the opponent. You wouldn't want to stand before a judge like that. He's already got a prejudicial mindset. He's already has a preformed opinion. He's already got prejudice in his heart. Well, to prejudge, to be biased, showing partiality, either against or for somebody or something. Now, as I said, and we emphasized, we spent some time laying this out last time together. Prejudice can take both directions, and prejudice comes in all kinds of different directions. So we talked about how it's not just a matter, even in our country, but there's probably prejudice almost certainly in every single nation all around the world, prejudice of different kinds. And here in this country, there's all kinds of prejudice. It's not just racial, and it's not just against one race between one race and another. It's based on different races. But that's just one line of prejudice. As we pointed out, you have people from the North who are prejudiced against people from the South. They think they're bumpkins. And then you have people from the South who are prejudiced against people from the North. They don't like them. They're Yankees up there. You got people from big cities who are prejudiced against people from small towns. And you got people from small towns who are prejudiced against people from big cities, because they have different mindsets about one another. You have people from the East Coast and the West Coast who are prejudiced against people from flyover country. And you got people from flyover country who are prejudiced against people from the East Coast and the West Coast, because they think they're liberals and they think they're arrogant. But you've got people who are educated with degrees on their sleeves who are prejudiced against people who may not have a college education or may not even have a high school education because they think they're ignorant. They don't know anything. And you've got people who don't have as much education who are prejudiced against people who have these college degrees and maybe they're, college professors and so on because they think they know it all and they're arrogant. You got wealthy people who are prejudiced against poor people and poor people who are prejudiced against wealthy people. See, it goes on and on and on and on and on. But the point is that prejudice, basic prejudice, is ungodly. When it's prejudice against something from an ungodly perspective. We made the point that God holds no prejudice. He offers forgiveness and salvation to all who will come to him through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Again, partiality, simply a synonym for prejudice. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word all includes everybody. And again, here in Acts 10 and verses 34 and 35, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That word whoever includes everybody. When Jesus extended the great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 28 and 29, what did he say? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He said, all you. That invitation is to everybody. Now, So God offers forgiveness and salvation to all who will come to him through Jesus Christ. He offers that without prejudice. His judgment is and always will be without prejudice. I want to read Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, and notice how God's pronouncing judgment is laid out here. Beginning with verse 6, Romans chapter 2, speaking of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. See? According to his deeds. Each individual will give account for how he has lived. And according to his deeds, God will render judgment, either positive or negative. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Now, to those who? See, it's not a prejudging kind of thing. It's not a prejudice where God says, I'm going to save some and I'm going to condemn others. No, he says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, whoever will live in those godly ways. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. So it depends on how you live your personal life as to the judgment that God is going to bring upon you in eternity. Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, eternal condemnation to those who live ungodly lives, but only to those who live ungodly lives. Eternal life to those who live according to God's teachings, faithfully, dedicated, obedient. And then verse 11, a key verse, for there is no partiality with God. Again, God holds no prejudice. He offers forgiveness and salvation to anybody who will come to him through Jesus Christ in faithful obedience. His judgment is and always will be without prejudice. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. How does God judge? Without partiality. And we need to be thankful for that. Now, we need to follow God's example in how we think and how we treat and how we deal with others. We want God. We want God to deal with us without prejudice. We want him to offer us all of the blessings that he offers through Jesus Christ. When we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look beginning with verse 5. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, in other words, with sincerity, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Now let me add to that, whether he is in jail or whether he's walking around free. Lots of individuals get shaken to their spiritual senses after having been arrested and incarcerated. They come to their senses and come to realize the foolhardiness of the direction of their life up until that point. And they turn to God. They start studying the Bible. They grow in their faith. And they end up being baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. They change their life. And salvation, eternal life, is a blessing to them, just as it is to the person walking down the street in absolute freedom if he comes to Christ in repentance and obedience. So knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. And there is no partiality. There is no partiality with him. Who is the master in heaven? God. And there is no partiality. There is no prejudice in God. None whatsoever. We need to follow God's example in how we think and how we treat and how we deal with others. Why was slavery in this country eventually abolished? Because of God. Now, someone might throw up their hands and say, what are you talking about? God let slavery go on for hundreds of years in this country. That doesn't mean that God instituted it. That doesn't mean that God approved of it. God has blessed us with free will. And that free will is connected to a soul, a spiritual being within us. His word is always there to teach us godliness. Now, whether we go along with it or not, whether we follow it or not, whether we make the proper applications or not, that's on us, not on God. But what eventually brought humanity in our country to the point where we realized slavery is ungodly was the influence of God through his word upon our nation. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22, we read this. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, a person who lives a godly lifestyle can be a great influence upon people who hate him or hate her, people who treat them disrespectfully. And that could include, and here Paul is addressing the reality of slavery in that part of the world in that day and age. And he says, now look, you bondservants, you serve your masters honorably, and not just in service to them, but to bring glory to God. Because you live an honorable life, a godly life, even in whatever negative circumstance you may be living at this particular time, you're actually honoring God. You're actually honoring your Savior. And so think about that. That's your first direction of living an honorable life. You're giving glory to God. But then he also says, now, you masters, you owners of those bondservants, you treat them respectfully. You treat them respectfully as you would want to be treated, because God has offered you forgiveness and salvation. Now, it's interesting. To whom, or what would be the bottom line identity of these bondservants and these masters to whom Paul is writing this instruction? You be equally honorable to each other, understanding that living a godly life in whatever circumstance you might find yourself is really service to God, bringing glory to God. What was the identity of these bondservants and these masters to whom Paul was writing? They were all Christians. They were all Christians. God deals with us where we are. And he expects us to respond to him from where we are. And when there are situations in which we need to repent, he expects us to do that. But now, what does that say again there? In Colossians 3, verses 22 through 25, he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. We need to follow God's example. He loves everybody. Now remember again that familiar verse of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now who does that whoever term include? The worst of the worst. Now that does not mean they can continue living those ungodly lives, lifestyles. But God is ready to forgive the worst of the worst if they will come to repentance through Jesus Christ. If they will surrender to him obediently in baptism so the blood that he shed on the cross can cleanse them of the guilt of their sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Again, Saul of Tarsus, he was a violent enemy of Jesus Christ and the church. He referred to himself as having been exceedingly enraged against Christians, against Christianity. He hunted down Christians and put them in bonds, tried to intimidate them into blaspheming the name of Christ, and even voted for their execution on occasions. But he repented. He was baptized into Christ, and the blood that Jesus shed on the cross cleansed even him of his sins. And he became not only a faithful, dedicated Christian, but a gospel preacher and a divinely appointed apostle of Jesus Christ. God shows no partiality. We need to follow his example. He's not prejudiced, and neither should we be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to have the right hearts. Help us to put prejudice completely out of our lives, and help us to be examples to others of being without prejudice. Help us to glorify you through the way that we live our lives before you and before others. Please forgive us, gracious Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.